Chapter 3 Kip's palms bled vibrant crimson around the slick ore in his hands. His palms had blistered. The blisters had filled with colourless plasma. The tender skin beneath had torn. Blood had swirled into the plasma like red luxin. Chafed ceaselessly against the ore, the blisters broke, bled. He shifted his grip. New blisters formed, colourless, filled with crimson, burst. He didn't see the colour, though. Couldn't see anything. He could only imagine the colours waiting for him as soon as he shed the blindfold Zymon had put on him to keep him from drafting. Zymon, the polychrome who'd followed the colour prints. Zymon, who'd tried to kill Kip in Recton, and tried to assassinate Gavin at Garriston. Zymon, who held a pistol pointed at Kip's head even now. Zymon, his half-brother. Zymon, whom he would kill.
"What are you smiling about?"
Zymon asked. The rowboat bobbed and lurched on the waves as it had for the last 2 days. Without the use of his eyes, Kip couldn't thread his way through the chaos of the waves, rowing at the right time, pausing when appropriate. From time to time, he'd pull on one oar and feel it slip free of the water. He'd flounder until Zymon barked a direction. 2 days they'd been doing this. 2 agonizing days. The blindfold was overkill the first day. Kip's eyes had swollen shut. During the battle, he'd accidentally hit himself, and then Zymon had punched him in the face. He had a dozen small cuts on the left side of his face and down his left arm from when the Merlon of the Green Bane had been hit by a cannonball and exploded into shrapnel. Andros Guile had stabbed him in the shoulder and gashed him along his ribs. If it hadn't been for his Blackguard training for the last months, and the fact he had a gun levelled at his head, Kip wouldn't have been able to move. As it was, the unfamiliar exercise reduced his muscles to quivering clumsiness. His back was agony. The fronts of his legs, kept constantly flexed as he tried to keep his balance in the bobbing boat, were murder. His arms and shoulders were somehow worse. And his hands. Dear Orholm, it was like he dipped them in misery. His burned left hand that had been slowly healing was now a claw. It hurt to tighten, it hurt to loosen, it hurt to leave it alone. Kip was fat and frightened and finished.
"More to port," Zymon said, bored.
He didn't think enough of Kip to pursue why Kip had smiled. He was too canny to come close at a slight provocation, and the waves were too heavy today for him to risk putting himself off balance for a momentary pleasure. He'd never offered to take a turn at the oars. The only thing that kept Kip going was fear. It was exhausting to be afraid for 2 days straight, and it was starting to make Kip a bit furious. "But what can I do? I'm blind and reduced to such weakness I couldn't win a fight with a kitten, muscles sure to clamp or collapse at any move I make. Zymon has set the field. He has the cards. 6 colours and a gun." But as soon as Kip saw it as a game of 9 kings, his terror eased. He imagined analysing the game with the patience of a blue. Could Zymon be nearly as frightening an opponent as Andros Guile? No. But if you have a terrible hand, you can still lose to a bad opponent. Zymon could kill Kip at any moment, easily and without fear of justice or repercussions, because no one would ever know. Yes, yes, we've established that, but so what? Kip's best card was Zymon's laziness. Zymon knew they needed to row, or they could fall prey to pirates and be enslaved. Zymon didn't want to row himself, so Kip was safe, until he irritated Zymon enough to overcome his laziness, or until Zymon didn't need him any longer. Zymon had great cards, but a great card that you never play is a worthless card. Zymon had a ludicrously inflated opinion of himself. He'd already spoken at length about all the things he would do once he reached the Chromeria. Kip didn't appear in those stories, which told Kip all he needed to know about his own future. But Zymon's inflated opinion of himself meant he had a proportionally deflated opinion of others. Kip acted beaten, and Zymon believed it. Of course he was superior. Of course Kip would be devastated by that fact and realize that he was helpless. "I really expected the sharks to get you at Garriston," Kip said, threading a grudging admiration through his tone. Zymon wasn't an idiot, despite his arrogance. Once the sun went down, he lost his luxin advantage. Then he only had 3 cards. the pistol, Kip's injuries, and that his own muscles weren't devastated from a dozen hours of grueling labour. Any time Kip had turned over last night in his sleep, as he lay in the front of their little boat under the bench, Zyman had woken instantly, the flintlock already cocked and pointed at him. Kip's odds of getting accidentally shot if Zyman twitched in his sleep were depressingly high.
"Wasn't a pleasant swim," Zyman said.
After a silence, he said, "I expected that waterfall to get you back at Recton." Peeved, Kip the Lip almost brought up their next meeting, in the rebel camp when Zyman hadn't recognised him. But taunting a man with a dozen sure ways to kill you wasn't the height of good sense.
"Guess we've something else in common then," Kip said.
"Hard to kill." He shouldn't have bothered trying to draw them together with some illusory common bonds. Zyman was pure reptile. Kip thought the boy must try to hide it most of the time. With Kip, he didn't. Another sign of how Kip's time was limited.
"We are the blood of guile," Zyman said, "but you'll forever be a bastard. I'll prove myself to grandfather and be an heir. The heir."
Kip rode.
"You sure?" he asked. "About Caris being your mother? I never heard so much as a whisper."
He hated being blindfolded, having to sift Zyman's tones of voice rather than look for the momentary grimaces or twitches that might betray the truth.
"She was betrothed to the prism when they conceived me. That makes me legitimate to most people. When he broke their betrothal, she went and stayed with relations."
"In Tyria?" Kip asked. That was where he'd first seen Zyman, defying his master, throwing fireballs at Kip and forcing Kip to jump off the waterfall.
"Blood Forest. Little town called Apple Grove. I went to Tyria later. It was the only place to go to learn drafting that wasn't the Chromeria."
"Grandfather's idea?" Kip asked. It sounded like Andros guile. Have the boy educated, trained, and kept off the table. A perfect hidden card. While being honed into the perfect weapon, Zyman would also be kept from developing his own allies at the Chromeria.
He would be perfect for Andros's use against Gavin or the Spectrum, but he wouldn't be a threat to Andros himself.
The boy didn't even realise how cynically Andros was using him.
"Guess I've become a little cynical myself to see it so clearly. Or maybe I'm only cynical where Andros guile is concerned."
Regardless, Zyman didn't answer. Or perhaps he answered by nodding. In 2 days, Zyman had never asked about Caris. He seemed to think her position on the Blackguard made her acceptable to have as a mother, but not intrinsically powerful, and therefore not interesting. He saved his questions to arm himself for his meeting with Andros guile. Kip wished he could be there to see that. The next time Kip's oar slipped off a wave, he coughed hard. He wheezed into his hand and pushed the blindfold up his nose, fractionally. Coughing, even fake coughing, hurt like hell. He'd inhaled a lot of seawater after he'd jumped into the Cerulean Sea to save Gavin Guile. He'd once thought of himself as the turtle bear, made with a special gift for absorbing punishment. He was really going to have to come up with some other special gift. This one was terrible. He went back to rowing. Zyman had made him strip off his shirt, both so he could see if Kip tried to pack Luxon and to keep himself warm. With the cloud cover and the autumn wind, it was chilly for much of the morning and evening. Rowing and sweating, Kip didn't notice the lack so much. At the end of each stroke, his head naturally tilting back, Kip took a tiny sip of blue under the blindfold. In the weak, grey, cloud-filtered light, the sea was soup, and his eyelashes and the blindfold blotted out most colour, but he didn't need much. Couldn't take much at once, or Zyman might see it. With only a little at a time, Kip's skin was dark enough to camouflage the Luxon as it travelled from his eyes, through his face hidden by the blindfold, down his back, and was packed beneath the skin of his legs and butt, out of sight. Zyman had checked his scalp and the skin hidden by the blindfold a few times, so an abundance of caution was in order. Now, certain that Kip wouldn't draft, Zyman expected him to attack at night, when his own powers were weakest. But as a full-spectrum polychrome, Kip knew weakness wasn't measured in colours. There was no difference between Zyman having a dozen sure ways to kill him and only having one if time was limited enough. In fact, if Zyman could be more easily surprised because he had a dozen ways to kill Kip than if he'd had only one, then those extra ways actually made him weaker. Some people think that you play nine kings against the man, not the cards. It sounds clever, but it's rarely true. By late afternoon, Kip had enough Luxin. It took all of his concentration to row and push his pain aside and slowly thread the Luxin up his back, up the back of his neck, up into his scalp. To draft Luxin, it had to be connected to blood. Most drafters chose to tear open the skin at their wrists or under their fingernails. After a while, scar tissue formed, the body adjusted. But you didn't have to push the Luxin through a spot where you'd done it before, and Kip didn't intend to. Every fraction of a second lost made death more likely. The sips of blue made it all seem so logical. Kip's senses were acute, filtering out the wind and his own heaving breath. He divined that Zyman was seated facing him. Kip knew where the bench was, could tell that Zyman was seated in the middle of it from how the rowboat sat even in the water. He could hear Zyman shift from time to time, looking behind them, or to shore. The blue couldn't mute sounds, though, only sift them. The irregular wind obliterated much of the information Kip could have used, nor did blue mute all his body's agony. Kip had husbanded his dwindling resources as carefully as possible, acting slightly more exhausted than he was so that he could grab a moment of rest between each oar stroke, balancing Zyman's laziness against his own life. It had to be today. It had to be soon. He didn't have much strength left. Kip hunched, grunted in pain and released the oars, faking a leg cramp. The move was sudden enough, it probably almost earned him a musket ball between the eyes. He massaged his leg with both hands, evaluating, testing, stretching not just his legs, but his hands and arms too. There was a sudden snort and a small cry. Planting his legs wider than he had before, making them less helpful for rowing but hopefully more helpful for a sudden leap, Kip settled back into his place, groped blindly for the oars. He pretended he hadn't noticed, but he died a little. Zyman must have just dozed off. Kip had woken his enemy. With blue sharpening his senses, if Kip had waited even a few moments... He hadn't. That was no use. Commander Ironfist had told them,
"Looking back doesn't help. Dwell on your mistakes when you're in safety. Get to safety first."
"If you think I'm going to help you, you're insane," Zyman said.
Kip groaned from the pain of moving his arms. He didn't know if he would have the strength even to lurch across the boat. He groped around blindly, missing the oars that he'd released. He said,
"Longer I fumble around for the oars, the longer I get to rest.
Right hand, up and forward.
Up more. Use the chain, stupid."
The oar, held in its oar lock, bobbed and swayed with the action of the waves. It smacked Kip's fingernails. Kip grunted. He bent his wrist to reach the manacle and followed the chain to the oar. He hadn't forgotten about it. But it was better to look stupid. It was better not to look like he was calculating exactly how long that chain was. Kip grabbed the oar. Then he repeated with his left hand, and he started rowing again.
"More to port," Zyman said, bored. "That's it."
There was only one way this could work. Kip had to knock Zyman into the water, not fall in himself. Once Zyman fell in the water, his pistol would be useless. He would only have time to throw one burst of something at Kip, because all Luxin had weight. That action, regardless of which colour of Luxin he chose to throw, would cause the reaction of pushing Zyman deep under the waves. If Zyman missed with that first strike, Kip had a chance. He would have to row like mad. When he was able to see how far from shore they were, he could decide whether to risk going back and killing Zyman, or leaving him to his fate in the sea. After Zyman's impossible escape through shark-filled waters last time, Kip planned to kill him and be sure. If Kip was too slow, though, he'd get shot. With no idea what direction to row and as weak as he was, he would die. If he knocked them both into the water, he would die. Zyman was the better swimmer, even when Kip was healthy. There would be only one slim chance. Kip would be ready for it. His eyes, shielded from the light under the blindfold, were naturally wide, dilated. He tried to narrow them consciously, a trick any experienced drafter could do instantly. If he was dazzled by the light, he'd miss. If as Iman's weight shifted.
Orholm, he said.
The moment was on him so suddenly Kip almost missed it.
A galley,
Zymon said. The blue Luxin Kip was holding told him that Zymon's voice was muted by being turned to the side, looking.
I think it's pirates. Now.
Blue Luxin tore through Kip's skin at his temples. With fingers of blue Luxin, he flipped the blindfold off his head and leapt.